man back then, I guess.
Very young.
Hey, these good folks want to help you out when it comes to doing this. Hey, what I love about this is the fourth generation family-owned business. You know, how many, like less than 2% of business ever make it to that 100-year mark, and less than a percentage of that make it to a fourth generation family-owned. It's a family company. They want to do your installed services. They want to work with your builders, your remodels, your handymen, and build those great homes for you, remodel those great homes for you. A full-service lumber yard here in the upstate of South Carolina. It's our great friends at Harbin Lumber. Check them out online, harbinlumber.com. Harbin Lumber, remember the number, 353-5053. Dabo Swinney coming up at 8:25 this morning. Dr. Chris Ahmad, the head team physician for the New York Yankees, joins us at 8:45 this morning. And now our next guest is Skylar Fulton, who is the head of the NFL's International Player Pathway Program, and they help identify and develop talented athletes from around the globe, creating new opportunities for international players to pursue NFL or even college football careers. And through the IPP, the athletes and the non-traditional football backgrounds are being introduced to the game and developed and evaluated, and some going on to opportunities with NFL teams and major college football programs. So with that, we welcome in Skylar Fulton. Good morning, Skylar. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your time, and let's just start things out. Just for our listeners, I didn't know a whole lot about the IPP program, but tell us about the NFL International Player Pathway Program, what exactly it is, and what our fans or our listeners will be interested in knowing about the program.
Yeah, the program was started in 2017, and really the idea behind it, it's the NFL's initiative to identify, develop, and create opportunities for elite athletes all over the world. To qualify, kind of the parameters are that you can't be at a U.S. high school for more than 2 years, so you can attend, your junior year and senior year at a U.S. high school, and you obviously can't be from the U.S. Or Canada.
Now, how did this come about? Why did the NFL create this program and these opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL just recognized, you look at the World Cup, right? Like, the global opportunities to grow the sport and to get, the whole world engaged with football in some capacity, and not just necessarily as players, but in the entire ecosystem. We're talking officiating, coaching, strength training, et cetera, et cetera. So really just the goal of expanding the sport globally and continue to provide opportunities for athletes that maybe don't even recognize that football is an option for them.
Skylar, is there a part of the world that's maybe more advanced, what you're looking at? Do you find your resources more in one part of the world, or is this a global, complete, all the way across the globe in the nooks and crannies and finding these great athletes everywhere?
Yeah, I think it is all over the world, but, different places in the world are a little bit more advanced. You talk about, Germany, Mexico, Japan, probably, more advanced in terms of, like, their structure and just the execution of American football being played in those places. But then you talk about places like Africa, Samoa, Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, where there's a ton of just physical talent, maybe not as much exposure to the game, but, from a physical ability standpoint, certainly prospects. So it's a combination of both.
Do they come to you? Do you go to them? How does that work? How's the process work?
Yeah, again, I would say that's both. I mean, kind of all of the above. I mean, there's international, agents now that are aware of the program and have had guys in our program that understand, kind of what we're looking for, that'll, put guys up. There's heads of federations in different countries that, work with our flag development that'll put, guys up. Obviously, we, look in terms of watching rugby players, soccer players, basketball players, and then even NFL teams, that come across guys that are nationally that reach out to us and say, hey, we've heard of this guy, you guys might want to look into him. So it's a group effort. We have, our lead scout, Mark Delgarian, runs point on all of that. But, we'll travel to UK, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Samoa, and Japan between now and the end of the year in terms of being on the ground and working guys out and trying to find, this year's class.
That doesn't stink. Like, your job doesn't stink, man, I'll be honest with you. Like, that sounds like a pretty cool endeavor. I don't know what family and leaving and all that, but to be able to travel the world and to do that is pretty cool. Hey, let me ask the qualities. What are you looking for when you're evaluating these athletes?
I mean, they got to be the top 1%, in terms of athletically and mentally. And I think that's something, we're still trying to educate people on, because you know, if you're going to come play in the NFL, especially if you've never played football before, from a physical and mental standpoint, I mean, you have to be off the charts, which, you know, we had, you know, two guys this year, Uwar Bernard, who got drafted in the seventh round out of Nigeria, never played football before. And then Josh Woru, who played rugby in Kenya, you know, that signed right after the draft, both with the Eagles. But when you look at those guys, I mean, they're, you know, top 1% from a physical standpoint and mentally, you know, strong. Because I think that's something that, you know, people miss is you can find a guy that's physical and capable physically, but if he can't learn, you know, the football IQ stuff of playing in the NFL, he's not going to have a chance.
Skylar Fulton joins us. He's the head of the NFL International Player Pathway Program. Skylar, how often do you see it where even you, because you see, you know, obviously tons of athletes out there, how often does it happen to where, I mean, even you get wild, like, man, this is gets your blood flowing a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it. I would say once a year. You know, the Uwar Bernard and, you know, Clint Hurt, the D-line coach out there, Jordan Mailata, have all echoed this. But, I mean, I've never seen an athlete like him. You know, 6'5", 300-plus, verted 39, broad jump 10-10, ran 4.6, you know, benched 225 35 times or whatever. So, yeah, there's certainly guys that you show up and it's not like, who is that? It's what is that? Because you're not sure because you ain't never seen something like that before.
Yeah.
But I'd say you know we try to find one guy a class like that.
I joke all the time on the show whenever I see an athlete like that these are cyborgs, these are not human beings, and they don't have blood. They have oil in their joints that are making these joints move. But God's created a whole different kind of athlete there. Hey, we talk about the NFL part of it. There's a college aspect part of this as well. What's the connection to college football?
Yeah, I think there's a couple connections. I mean, we had a guy from 2 years ago go to Washington State, a tight end, and just this year we got a guy that's going to junior college from Australia. So we're kind of starting that pathway. Some of these guys that come through the program that don't get signed to the NFL and have some eligibility going to college, and then bringing college guys into the program. Last year we had two, Kansei Matsuzawa, a kicker from Japan that played at Hawaii, and then Seydou Traore, a tight end from Mississippi State, by way of Arkansas State, by way of the NFL Academy, you know, that were in this year's class, looking to kind of expand that. I mean, we're probably going to be somewhere around 12 to 15 guys this year, and I'd say we'd probably be at a closer 50-50 split of college players and emerging country players, or, you know, emerging players is what I would call them, you know, guys that have never played football. You know, the landscape has changed so much, Mickey, over the last few years, as you know, with NIL and just, 5 years ago, there wasn't as many opportunities for international players to get plugged into college and have that be part of their pathway with NIL and transfer portal and all of that. But it has become more of an opportunity. So, you know, one of our goals is really amplifying all the pathways and showing how guys from different countries can get to the NFL, not just through our academy or, you know, say one specific way, but showing how do these different guys make it to this point.
You had the opportunity to, like we've done, to visit the Arthrex campus, and you brought six of your IPP athletes to the headquarters in Naples and learned about the medical innovation and toured the campus and met with the founder and president, Reinhold Smeeding. And so tell us about that experience. What stood out from your time there?
Yeah, I mean, Arthrex was unbelievable. They've been phenomenal to the program. You know, and I think one of the things that's really important for these guys is to get out in front of the education aspect of surgeries and how to handle that and what you want to do when that comes up. Because, as you know, being around this game, man, that's a part of the game. You know, and if you play this game long enough, at some point you're going to be dealing with some sort of injury. And I think surgery is one of those things that guys don't think about until it happens, and then you're leaning on other people to make decisions for you on, you know, where you should get surgery, who should do it, all those kinds of things. When, you know, as a professional athlete, I believe these guys should educate themselves, you know, prior to anything happening, and they should have a plan so that when it happens, it's a plan that they've come up with, they feel good about, and they can execute.
Skylar, final question for you. The program's also, the IPP program is subject of a new documentary coming out, I think in September. And so tell us about that format, where we're going to see it, and what can we expect from this very intriguing documentary?
Yeah, it's really just an hour documentary kind of showing what IPP camp is and highlighting, you know, some of the guys that takes us through, you know, our camp in Fort Myers, Florida, all the way through the draft in terms of a couple of the guys getting drafted and the behind-the-scenes stuff. But it's really, the goal is just to give people a look inside of what IPP camp is and a better idea of who some of these guys are that were in the 2026 class.
Is it, I mean, and this sounds like a pretty obvious question, but just seems to me that the access, the world gets smaller, the program you guys are doing right now, is it simple to say that we'll see more international players at all levels in football in America? Is that a you know, pretty easy conclusion to come to?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the NBA, the last seven NBA MVPs are international players, right? And you look at baseball and how much time and energy, you know, the NBA and MLB have put into international development. We're a little bit behind there, but I think our sport will look a lot more like that, where it's, you know, more of a 50-50, even in college, you know, 10 years from now, as flag continues to expand and people get exposed to the sport earlier. You know, I think a lot of the stuff, it works itself out, because these soccer players, you know, Hero Canoe, D tackle at Texas, I mean, he was a soccer player, you know, 6'5", 300, you grow out of that, right? And now you can take those skills to another sport. So I definitely believe that as time goes on, that we'll see a lot closer to 50-50 rosters of international players and domestic players.
There's only one lose in this whole situation, and that's Sports Talk Radio, because I'm going to mispronounce the names anyway. So the more names to mispronounce when it's all said.
You just give them nicknames. Just give them nicknames.
There you go. There you go. I like it. I like it for
That's
sure.
That's what I do.
Hey, I love it, man. Hey, Skylar, I'm really interested in it. I'd love to visit with you again. Let's maybe talk before the documentary comes out. We can tell fans where they can watch it, and I know learn more about that. And so can't wait to do that with you. Maybe we'll do that when closer to the season comes around.
No, that'd be awesome, and I got to shout my guy Adam Humphreys out, you know, since it's Clemson Radio.
Yeah.
I coached him in Tampa Bay 2016, 17, and 18. So shout out to Hump, the Clemson Tiger.
Not the elite athlete, though, Skylar. Like, you talk about doing it in your mind. Not the elite athlete, but he stuck on for a long
IPP
time.
Program. He definitely wouldn't make the IPP program. But it also goes to show, man, because, you know, in terms of coaching Hump, like, you know, there's those guys that are hard hat, lunch pail, you know, everyday grinders, and you need those guys on your team too. Hump did a phenomenal job for us in Tampa, so wouldn't be an athlete for the IPP program, but was a phenomenal player and did a great job for us in Tampa.
He took the coaching then. You did a great job with that. Skylar Fulton, head of the NFL International Player Pathway Program. Thanks an awful lot, man. I hope to visit with you soon.
Appreciate you, Mickey. Have a great day.
You too. We'll take a short break. Hey, I do want to tell you before this break about Blue Ridge Heating and Air, and the great things they do there. These are engineering minds. These are two engineers that did an incredible job of starting an HVAC company, and what they've done from there is get the MBAs and their business aspect of it. They want to come in and talk about the quality of air of your home, the humidity in your home, the mold potential in your home. Let's get a better system. Let's get a better situation running for you. Let's get a more efficient machine running for you. Ask about their preventive maintenance program. Twice a year they come out, make sure it runs well for you. Ask about the Armstrong unit made right here in Orangeburg, South Carolina, or the Arctic Flex heat pump. They do a terrific job. We love them. It's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. When we come back, Dabo Sweeney's going to join us. We'll talk about sports medicine from his viewpoint and how he deals with sports medicine after a very short break.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket.
Let's do that now. Welcome back to the show, and we're here at the Arthrex Manufacturing Incorporated right here in Pendleton, and our next guest really needs no introduction to Clemson fans, the multi-time national champion and multi-time ACC champion head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Coach Dabo Sweeney. Coach, how you doing this morning? Hey, Coach, you got me? Maybe we'll try to.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, man. Yeah, we got you now. How you doing?
Okay. I'm good. Good to be with you, man. Hope you're well.
Good. We're here with Dr. Steve Martin as well. I know a guy who had dinner at your house last night. I guess I didn't get the invite, Coach. I guess that's a thing last night. I smelled it. I smelled it cooking over there at the house, but I didn't get the invite. You got any leftovers for me or anything?
Oh, we had a lot. We had plenty of them.
All right, tell me this. We're talking about sports medicine all day. We had some of the top. Matter of fact, the next guy on, Chris Ahmad, is the team physician for the New York Yankees. We've got 3 hours of talking about sports medicine. You've been in this business a long time as an athlete and as a coach. It has changed an awful lot. Do you ever sit back and amaze the technology, or just how much do you get into it? I know different coaches have different philosophies about it. How involved are you in learning more about what your athletes are going through with these surgeries and these injuries?
Funny you say that. We had our trainer gave us a presentation yesterday. I feel like I'm almost ready for the MCAT. after yesterday. We got into some details on some on certain types of injuries that we've had and the types of surgeries that they get. But you know, I mean, I'm very in tune. I'm not involved when it comes to like decisions, you know, and that type of stuff. I don't think any coach should be. That's up to the doctors. But I'm very in tune to what's going on, where we are, and then from a, you know, big picture standpoint, it's amazing what I've seen in my, this is, I guess, my 37th year of college football as a player and a coach. And I mean, the technology, the treatments, the resources, the equipment, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's mind blowing. You know, guys that maybe played with me that have been out, you know, since they left college or whatever, you come back and you would be blown away what all these guys have access to, and the doctors and how they've been trained and the knowledge they have. It's incredible. I mean, it really is. It is an incredible thing to see, and our doctors do an amazing job in getting our guys back on the field as quick as possible.
Dr. Martin, you were bragging on Coach Sweeney last night because a short presentation. And what did you say last night? He was holding court.
He actually.
Yeah, I'm talking deltoids.
He was talking anatomy and injury types, and he was in tune. He was definitely listening to the lecture. Yeah. Dabo, I'm operating tomorrow. If you want to scrub in, I'll save you a spot.
Well, I always wanted to be a doctor, so I was going to go to med school, but I was going to be a pediatrician, not a surgeon cutting everybody up, all that stuff. That's a different level.
Coach, walk us through a week. You get off the plane from a road trip or you know, you have a home game. Sunday morning, Dr. Martin always talks about it, that you know, the training room and you're evaluating and you're getting ready for the week and availability and all that. What's your week look like from a medical standpoint and communication with medical teams and trainers throughout the week?
Well, I mean, it actually starts even during the game. You know, something can happen during the game, and I usually will get some type of insight or some type of intel into what's going on during the game. And sometimes, you know, if we have an injury, a guy's out, I'm always at post-game trying to find, Pat and Dr. Martin or Dr. Reeves, whoever, and like, hey, what you think? You never really know. In some cases, you got to do MRIs and all that type of stuff to get, you know, verification and confirmation. But so that's kind of where it starts. And then depending on, home games, we have a standard time. But depending on how late the game is, especially road games, we get back late. That kind of determines when they want them in the training room, guys that have been injured or need treatment. And so I usually will come in and make a pass, you know, on Sundays down through the training room and see some of those guys, and then Pat, our trainer, you know, he accumulates all of the long term, if we have any long term injuries, guys that maybe were out of game, where they are, what their status is, and so we kind of go through this injury report, and then I meet with the staff on Sunday afternoons, a big staff meeting at 4, and we'll talk about, you know, kind of the availability as of that moment, and you know, I don't really get too much into projecting things other than what the doctors say, and like, hey, we think this guy, it's a good chance you're going to have this guy. Here's kind of the return to play protocol. And then we'll come in, we'll usually know a little bit more on Mondays, and then we have to start making some decisions on Tuesday and Wednesday, with the bodies that we have and the injury knowledge that we have. So it's really every single day, you know, we're talking about the health and welfare of our players. Welfare of our players.
Dabo, you know, one of the things that, obviously I've been doing this for a while, and football is evolving fairly rapidly, is changing, and I'm sure you're seeing all those changes. But, you know, what on your end point, because the seasons are longer, the number of games are more, the effect of injuries on these players and your depth charts and your recruiting and your NIL. In other words, you've had to adapt, at certain positions to increase your depth charts just because of injuries. You know, we obviously, seasons are like they are, where you have all of a sudden you got, knee injuries, but you do have to be prepared for the playoffs, right? And to have enough healthy athletes for the playoffs, and so puts a lot of pressure on your depth charts.
No question. I mean, the seasons are longer. These guys, you know, they train year round. It's a different world in that, you could play 17 games, you know, in our current model. Probably as things expand, that could increase. I mean, certainly start earlier, and if you have the type of season you want to have, play longer. But you have to prepare for that. You know, you can't wait and get in that moment and prepare for that. It's something you have to prepare for, you know, really year round. But even like camp has changed so much over the years. We've had to adapt a lot there. I mean, there's so many things that we study and look at. I did a big study on a lot of the NFL stuff a couple of years ago, you know, just as far as training camp and recovery, you know, just overall wellness and things like that. And, you know, and it's different for every position too, you know, whether your skill guys and the amount of, you know, miles. I mean, we have all this data that we didn't used to have. I mean, we tracked everything they do with this GPS stuff and load management, the amount of force that some of these guys have endured. And so you have to, you know, take that into account as well. You have some guys that have played a ton of snaps, some guys that haven't played as many. So you're always trying to manage that to give yourself the best possible chance to have a healthy roster throughout the whole course of the season. And definitely from a number standpoint at each position, you know, obviously in the trenches, that is a critical position. So, you know, then we're limited now. We have a roster limit. And so that affects your practice squads, which affects the, you know, and then when those numbers are cut down, now guys that are maybe on your second team are going to have to carry more snaps, and that puts a little more toll on everybody. So you have to try to address that with your overall numbers at each position. And so it puts a strain on you for sure. And so that means you have to be careful how you practice, you know, how much live. You don't get better at football if you don't practice football. I mean, that's just the way it is. But you got to be smart. You know, how much live do you go? You know, how much full speed, how much full pads, changing your tempos, you know, trying not to camp. Camp is probably when we have the most intense demand on our players. So we try not to, you know, 3 days is the most we'll go without a day off their legs, you know, with meaning no, now they'll have meetings and all that stuff, but just no practice. So there's a lot of things that have evolved over the years, that's for sure. You know, for the better. I mean, we've gotten smarter. Again, we just have so much more information, the amount of miles these guys cover, speeds that they get to, you know, and then best practices. You know, best practices have changed so much over the years. We have so many smart doctors, so much great research. So you implement that into, you know, everything that you do from a training standpoint, practice prep, all that type of stuff. You know, everybody is always trying to find that balance. We're blessed at Clemson because we have amazing resources, amazing doctors. We have the best of the best. We've got incredible technology. And so that, to me, I think that is a competitive advantage.
Coach, two-part question for you. One is, you have input into your industry. The first part is, would you have any input medically, how we do things, or anything we need to think about in the future that's currently not being across the board? The second part of that is the idea of just listening to our coaches more. We didn't listen in NIL or transfer portal, but we need to listen to coaches and for the, you know, for the betterment of the game, for the investment of the game.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that to happen. That's really it's a unique industry in that regard. It really is. I mean, I've said this many, many times over the years, and we eventually figure things out, but we go through a lot of heartache that we really wouldn't have to deal with. But, you know, I think in any industry, like Dr. Martin there, I mean, you know, what the heck do you know about a shoulder or a knee? Nothing. You know, we know enough to be damn, it hurts, right? Like, oh, this is this, that. But like, if you go see Dr. Martin and he says, hey, you know, you got a little tear, I need to scope this, whatever, you're just going to say, well, okay. And you're going to show up and you're going to trust that Dr. Martin knows what the heck he's doing. That's what he's trained to do. That's what he's done his whole life. But our industry in coaching football is unique in that, you know, the experts at the game that have spent their life doing this, we really have very little say. when it comes to a lot of stuff that we know the consequences of the decisions that are going to be made. Like, we don't think we know. We know the consequences, and we speak of it, but it's like, no, we just, you know. And it would really, literally be like me and you showing up over at Dr. Martin's office and saying, no, I don't think we're going to do that. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to hold that scalpel this way or whatever. And so it's just unique that way in our profession. I do think it's gotten better because it's had to. And, you know, so as far as medical standpoint, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we used to spend all this time talking about, you know, just the welfare of the player and so forth. But now we want them to start earlier, play more, practice more, play longer. And I just think we have to fix that. We have to fix the calendar because I think it is too much on this level of player and where they are developmentally. Football is a developmental sport. It just is. And there's no NFL people that want guys to come out of high school. And so there has to be some type of development. And then more importantly, we have a responsibility to educate these guys. Football is not a game of longevity. You know, 98% of these guys aren't going to play pro football. 98% of them are done when they're 24. And so, you know, we have to, you know, do a great job of making sure that we just prepare them academically. And so that's what I mean. Like, this level of player, like, they need to go to school. You know, they need to get degrees. They need to be educated. They need to be equipped as men. That's the whole process of going to college. And we can't get away from that just because they're making money and this and that. We have to stay collegiate and developmental as an industry. And I think, again, you know, we can lose sight of that, and all of a sudden we're starting in July and we're finishing late January. I think we got to fix the calendar and do a little better job of protecting these players from a medical standpoint.
Coach, I want to leave you with this. The folks at Arthrex were out. They had a booth with the ladies' clinic on Saturday, and they love being a big part of that. They wanted me to tell you thank you for being a part of that. And I know it's still a big part of our community and what we did on Saturday, but wanted to wrap that up and talk about the importance of that. And you guys continue to do a great job of it every single year.
Well, Arthrex is amazing, first of all. I mean, unbelievable. The campus that they built, you know, I call it a campus, you know, in Pendleton. I mean, it's really been impactful to Pendleton. And my goddaughter works with Arthrex. She's down in Naples on the amazing campus they have down there. But the technology and the stuff that we have access to through Arthrex is second to none, which to me is a competitive advantage when your players have the best of the best. But as far as the ladies' clinic, it was awesome. You know, we had another just amazing day. It's always such a really just a blessing to be a part of it, to see the hope and the strength and the courage of all these women, especially when they come down on the floor and how they inspire everyone. But it's a ton of fun. You know, we do a lot of football stuff, and you know, everybody was fired up to see Chad Morris and the presentation and our defense. And We have all these different segments. There's a whole bunch of shopping, bunch of vendors set up for shopping. I mean, it is a full day. They start showing up at 6 o'clock, and I think we finished up about 6 o'clock as coaches. It's a lot to it, but it's really for a great cause. And you know, we're passionate about, you know, fighting and doing our part to fight back against cancer, and specifically breast cancer and the impact that it's had on so many people's lives. So it's a great day. And then for us, you know, having Brown Shuler and what he's dealing with, and being able to have him there, and for him to be able to speak to the ladies and his mom and grandma there, it was a great day. I think we had about 80 players that volunteered to just, you know, come over there and serve. So it was a special day. Hey, we've got 3 mobile mammography buses going all over the upstate and Midlands and giving, you know, free mammograms and helping people that don't have insurance and things like that. And so it's been proven through technology, through research, you know, that, you know, obviously early detection can save a lot of people's lives, but just the research alone that's come about all over from the years, and the technologies that's come about from the research, the advances in treatments, it saves so many lives. And so it's amazing. And, you know, that is something that we're passionate about and thankful to be able to support it every year.
Name enough. Dennis said they didn't even know your godfather for forever, and she got the job and everything. Teach her to use a little more, you know, when she, you know, have that as an asset for her. So need to drop that name every once in a while. Hey, I can't thank you enough,
Coach. Dennis is amazing.
I know you're busy. I know things are great for you, but thanks for taking time out this morning and talking about the subject, and we'll talk some football with you very soon.
Yeah, today's our last day of our all-in meeting, so this is day five for us as a staff, and it's been awesome, and when we finish up today, man, we put our eyes back on the field and the players and get ready. We know what we're doing, how to do it, but more importantly, why we do it. And looking forward to a great year for the Tigers, and see everybody in the Valley. Appreciate all you do, Mick.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Tell Kath I'll get that leftovers later. Have a great day, buddy.
Take care, Dabo.
That is Dabo Swinney, head football coach of the Clemson Tigers. When we come back, Dr. Chris Ahmad, the team physician for the New York Yankees, joins us, and he's going to tell us about when Aaron Judge will be back in lineup, maybe. Short break, final segment right after this.
At theroarfm.com.
Final guest. We've been extremely excited about this to catch up with him. You might recognize his name or his voice, Dr. Chris Ahmad, the head team physician of the New York Yankees, a professor at Columbia University, and one of the leading sports medicine surgeons and author, joins us now for the second time on the show. Dr. Ahmad, thanks for joining us. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, terrific. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we love it. I don't know if you get to hear the music or not, but we had a little New York in there. And I want to tell you, as the resident Yankee fan, we spread the Yankee propaganda every single day on the show, and I told Dennis and the folks beforehand that even though you're the second time on the air, you're a personal friend of mine now, because I'm going to ask you about when Aaron Judge is going to be back on in the lineup. You're going to tell me that today live on the air, so that's great. Just kidding, Doc, just kidding. How you doing, man? Everything well? Obviously, the career's going well, and the season's going well, and just catches up on family and how your career and everything's going.
Everything is going well. This game of baseball, it challenges players beyond belief, so it's hard to accept injuries, but it's a part of the game. So we deal with injuries every season, and we're dealing with injuries this season. And as I said, my job as part of this game is trying to minimize the injuries that happen and get players back as fast as possible. So my job is challenging in that way. And, you know, the family is great because my family are Yankee fans, too, and they want me to do a good job, and they're behind me, making sure I do what I do to get players back out on the field.
You get hammered with that at dinner sometimes? Say, when's this guy coming back?
The talk is always, when are they coming back? And especially this time of the year, when second half after the All-Star break, games start to matter more than they do perhaps in the beginning part of the season.
I want to ask you about the nano needle scope 2.0. This has been the Arthrex technology now, and we've seen a lot of attention with Terrence Skubal and his procedure and getting these elite athletes back. What can you tell us about this new technology?
Well, first, it's amazing, and something to appreciate in the realm of surgery is, in order to fix something, as a surgeon, I've been doing this for 25 years now, we have to injure parts of the body before we can fix those parts of the body. That means we have to make incisions, cut tissues, move things out of the way to get to where the trouble is in order to fix it. This new technology minimizes the amount of injury that we do as surgeons. So much of the recovery from an operation is because the surgeon made some injury to the body in order to fix it. So you can think of it in a Tarek Skubal sense. He's got a loose body, a loose floating pebble in his elbow. It's like having a pebble in your shoe. You walk on it, it's hurting. If you could take your shoe off and dump that pebble out, you could feel a million times better. Traditionally, we would put a big camera inside. We call that arthroscopy, to find the pebble, and then that requires an incision. This nanoscope, we don't even make an incision. We make a little puncture, put a camera in that's the size of a needle, and we can see everything we need to see. And the elbow is a small joint. It's complicated. There's all little hidden areas. We can find it, and we can remove it. And since we didn't have to make incisions that would cause trauma, swelling, increase the recovery time, you can just pop the shoe off, take the pebble out, just like in Tarek Skubal's case, and instead of being out for the rest of the year, you come back in a couple of weeks.
You work with the doctor that performed the surgery. Y'all had trained together. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so Neil Elotrage is the surgeon who operated on Tarek Skubal, and I did my training with Neil Elotrage. So not only did we work together, he taught me how to do what I do, and he's the team physician for the LA Dodgers. So we've been friends ever since, and we're rivals. They knocked us out of a World Series contention 2 years ago, and going back where I used to work with him in Dodger Stadium in the early 2000s, going back there for a World Series was something special to me. And so we've been friends ever since. And we've been pushing the envelope on how to take better care of players. As these players, they're evolving. They are stronger. They're throwing harder. They are throwing with so much stress, and particularly in baseball on their elbow, that we're seeing, we'll call it an epidemic of injuries. We have to get better as doctors, hopefully to help prevent in the setting of these increased stresses. But when they do break, we want to get them better, more predictably, and faster. So Neil Elotrage and I have been working on this together for so many years with nano arthroscopy, which I use regularly now. And he had what we would call a breakthrough example case study with Tarek Skubal for everybody to sort of use as a model for surgeons in their practice and even patients who are seeking advanced and faster recoveries.
Dr. Ma, talk to me about on the back end of it. On the front end of it, you do the surgery. On the back end of it, the rehab, the training staff, and they go through all that together. What's the communication like there with the athlete? What's the communication like there with the training team of learning maybe how to do a better procedure or learning about the procedures more based upon how you left them and how that rehab is going?
Yeah, you ask a great question because rehab is so important. And as a surgeon, I'll give you an example. Tommy John surgery takes about 40 minutes to do the procedure, yet it takes 14 months before you're in a game again if you're playing at the most elite level. And between index day zero of the surgery and that 14 months, it's intense rehab. So at the most elite levels, we'll use the Yankees as an example, the amount of people, the team involved in the rehab is enormous, and they all have special skills. Everything from, as you can imagine, strength and conditioning, which is essential. You have to restore the strength and the condition of the whole body, to soft tissue recovery, that is getting motion back, getting compliance in the tissues that need to be elastic during the throwing motion, even the nutrition aspects. And we underestimate how important nutrition is. And we have nutrition experts assisting athletes. And some have different nutritional needs based on certain other things that they have. Maybe they have another issue that is affecting their body or their intestines. And then there's even a psychological component to all this, because your ability to be physically ready to get back to play is one thing, but you also need what we call psychological readiness. If you've been out of the game for a period of time, you may have some questions about your confidence, about your ability to perform at the same level. So we think of muscles getting stronger. We also think of your psychology as needing to get stronger, just like a muscle. So all those pieces are in place for elite athletes, and particularly for the Yankees. And you know, one of my tasks is deliver that same type of team quality of care to the amateur athlete. They deserve it also. They deserve to be able to recover and get back to their dreams the same way. But that is the challenge because, as you know, elite athletes have more resources available to them than, say, the amateur athlete. But we're working on that.
Yes, you wear a lot of hats, team physician for the Yankees and one of the leading sports medicine surgeons and a professor at Columbia University. Talk to me about your hat you wear as an author now. You've got a couple of books, and one the latest one, Getting Cut, is out now. Tell us about those books and about the process of writing for you.
Hey, Mickey, I'm glad you asked that. Yesterday we had a rainout, That means today we got a split doubleheader. I'll be at the stadium at 12 o'clock today, and I won't leave the stadium probably till 11:30. I got 12 hours there, and often I do a lot of reflection at the stadium, and I write. And what inspires me is I sit next to and I watch and I observe and I participate in how athletes prepare and get better at their sport, how they train. So that inspiration affects me in being a better surgeon. So athletes are extremely intentional in how they train and perform. So I decided to bring those intentional aspects and approaches to how they improve in athletics to surgeons. So my first book that came out earlier this year on this topic is called The Daily Surgeon. And it's written in a format for surgeons to read a excerpt every day and be inspired and challenged to be better by the end of that day. And not just be casual about it, be extremely intentional. And it's not just skill in surgery, it's about how to communicate, how to build a team in the operating room, how to develop personal resiliency if things aren't going well, be a better leader, be a better example. And the act of writing it and sharing it with other doctors, I hope is going to help other surgeons and other doctors. But really it helps me. Just the process of writing it down has been special for me. It formalizes my own process.
So, Chris, this is Steve Martin. It's good to talk to you again. I learn something every time I get to hear you speak or do this. But my youngest son just started his orthopedic residency, and I actually just bought that book for him, which I think will be valuable. I need to read it myself. But he just started his residency, and I think that'll be very, very insightful for him just in that daily aspect of it. I really liked your concept there.
Hey, Doc, how about that, man? And, how about that? We sold a book already. We sold one. We need to get two then. One for you, one for the doctor.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah.
I love it.
I'll also tell everybody, follow you on your Instagram account, at Dr. Chris Ahmad, and your social media stuff to do that. Get the books, The Daily Surgeon and Getting Cut, and it's pulled for the New York Yankees. Hey, Doc, just one quick note. If you notice now, this is our second time we've had you on. And again, we're close. In the South, we're friends now, lifelong friends. But I just want to make note of this. I still haven't asked you for any tickets for a Yankees home games. So let's just make note. Now, I can't promise that will be the case next time we speak. But just to know that I hadn't bugged you for any tickets yet.
Hey, you are welcome to come to New York and to the Bronx and have great seats to a game. And I promise you, we'll do everything we can to get a victory that day that you come.
Because I want to hear the song. The only bigger Yankee fan than me is my 7-year-old son. So we'll do that on a very serious note. Hey, I can't thank you enough. Continued success. I love following the social media and all that. And we'd love to visit with you again sometime soon.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Best wishes.
Take care. Dr. Chris Ahmad. The end of the show. Let me wrap this thing up quickly and say, Dr. Martin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The way we did this was
awesome.
You being here for 9 segments, and Dennis and Isabel and Sammy and Steve and Maya and Reinhold and Tony and Cub and Skyler and Dabo and Dr. Chris Ahmad and all that. That was fantastic. Ashby, a terrific job back there. I want to thank Kelly and the great staff here at Arthrex for setting us up for so much, and I really enjoyed this, and I want to tell everybody, I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. Most importantly, tune in tomorrow, and that's when we'll see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. Sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar. From sunup to sundown, we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves. 105.5, 97.5, the Roar.